B-Pod Studios.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on Twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
One right side, here's DeBrusk, right of the net. Centered out in front, fired, they score! David Pastrnak collects that sweet dish from Jake DeBrusk and hammers one home. And with 2:45 remaining in regulation, the Bruins have a 2-0 lead over the Wild.
You know what else is a sweet dish? My Princess Diana commemorative plate. Man. I got so many funny jokes today.
You're on fire.
Thank you. I've been watching a lot of Louis Anderson.
Wow.
Bruce Cassidy. I know. Get the laughter out now, John. Because we're about to get real, real.
Okay.
Bruce Cassidy, he is the coach of your playoff-bound Boston Bruins. Mr. Cassidy, hello.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We are well. What do you think about this playoff format? It seems like it sucks.
Listen, once you're in, you got to go through good teams. I think there's really no bad ones. A couple of a little better, stronger than the others. So, I don't know. It is what it is, right? I think it comes around, goes around a few years. We might be in a position where we get a kind of a softer draw. So, I'm just looking forward to playing Toronto, see what happens after that.
What do you think of Babcock?
Listen, Mike has lots of opinions, but he's well-respected, got a good resume. He's won a lot of hockey games. Not as many recently, and we hope we keep it that way.
Okay, because I don't want you to say anything that, well, you're usually pretty you're pretty on the level, but that team, like what's the shelf life of someone like Babcock? Like, because it seems like right now in Toronto there's a little bit of infighting.
Well, I think it's obviously a heavy, heavy hockey media market. So you're constantly probably putting out fires if you don't say the exact right thing. Like I said, I think Mike is a smart guy. He has good opinions. So sometimes they're going to, you know, take something and run with it. I think he's got to deal with that. In the locker room, I don't know, guys, to be honest. I don't know a lot of their players. Haven't coached, I don't think, any of them over the years. So that's probably not, you know, my area of expertise to speak on their locker room. You hear things where there's smoke, there's fire sometimes. But at the end of the day, they're a good team. You know, they got a lot of good young players. Marlowe's a great older guy to learn from. So, I expect it to be another good series.
Now, very famously, Bill Belichick has apparently there's been stories of him providing his players with bulletin board material when another team will do things like plan a celebration parade before a Super Bowl. Do you ever do that? Do you ever give the guys any kind of newspaper clippings, or you inform them of things that maybe other teams or coaches might have said in order to inspire them?
I haven't. Doesn't mean we couldn't, I guess, down the road. I think our guys, when you look at, you know, our leadership group, Z and Bergie, they're pretty focused, detail-oriented guys. I think they're ready to go. They understand what's at stake. People are going to say things. So for the most part, no, I guess if there's something really good out there, juicy, you're going to throw it at them. But I think the players hear it, you know, just as fast as we do, to be honest. I mean, social media nowadays, so that, you know, if they need something, they'll probably grab it themselves, to be perfectly honest with you.
So Bruce, you have a interesting luxury that might make things difficult as the coach, and that is that you have two goalies who have playoff experience, and you have the option that if one performs poorly, you could probably feel pretty confident the other guy can come in and at least do a pretty good job. How much of a leash do you think that you'll have on Tuukka Rask when he starts? Do you think that you would feel comfortable, if he had a bad game, pulling him and putting in Halak during this first series?
Well, I'd feel comfortable with either guy in nets. Like, if Tuukka was hurt and Halak had to start, I think our guys play equally well in front of both goaltenders, have the same amount of confidence. They're just going to play their game. So that's the positive of it. I guess the negative is, you know, in the back of your mind, if you do not, you know, give your starter the benefit of the doubt, if he's having one of those average games, you can get a little, you know, quick trigger finger. So that would be the downside of if you rushed into a judgment that maybe you didn't think through. But we've kind of looked at, you know, our year and as a whole, we've both guys have almost played the equal amount of games. So for us to use one or the other, I don't think it's a big deal in our locker room. I think that's what you got to be careful of. You pull your starter, throw a guy in there, the rest of the guys are looking at you like, what the hell are you doing, you know? you know, you're panicking, but I think our guys realize that we've won with both, so it shouldn't be a big issue if we have to go down that road.
Yeah, I got to think there's always that fear as a coach, is if you pull a guy, whether or not if you had to put them back in, they would be emotionally wrecked. You know, like that fact that you might have lost them after that. But with these two guys, you feel pretty confident that that wouldn't be the case.
Well, because they've split, right? I mean, if Tuukka had played 65 games, all of a sudden we're throwing the other guy in there. He's probably looking at us like, how can you lose confidence in me this quickly? So I think they understand they've both played all year, so that if we end up using both, like I said, I don't think you'll lose one or the other. I really don't. Listen, it's a performance-driven industry. In the playoffs, everything's magnified. You're obviously on a much shorter time frame. You know, you lose, you're done. So, you have to make some of these judgments quickly. And hopefully the players realize that we're going with the best guy that day. And then what we've done around here, I think, for, the last 2-3 years is we're trying to put the best guys out there. And the next day is a new day. We move on to the next game. Guys get second and third chances to sort of go back in if they've proven they can handle that. And that would be no different in that position, that's for sure.
Talking to Bruce Cassidy. Now, Bruce, I saw the practice lines yesterday, and Backes wasn't on. I know he practiced, but he wasn't on a particular line. What do you see his role in this series?
Well, we have 13 healthy forwards right now for 12 spots. I will tell you this. I do expect the first game to be the fastest game of the series. I think Toronto understands how they have to play to beat us. And I think we can certainly keep up the pace. I think we're a more physical team once it gets going. Last year, we kind of dragged them into that game. I think it worked in our favor. I don't know if they'll bite on that again this year. So I think the first game we're looking at probably dressing our fastest lineup. We've got a couple more days to decide and sort through it, but that's kind of the direction we're going. So that might keep Backes out of game one. But his role changed a little the second half of the year. He became a much more of a physical player, back to his roots, so to speak. He had had some injuries, and I think it took him a while to sort of grab onto that. He played very well for us. So he's going to be a key part for us at some point if he doesn't play game one. I think because of our fourth line mentality, we have Achari, Wagner, and Nordstrom or Crowley when he's back. They're going to play a big part in this series because they can shut down the Matthews, of the world and the Tavares and play them hard. And if we can, be even in that matchup, then I think we'll have the edge elsewhere. So, and he's part of that makeup of that line. The problem is we have Wagner, who's healthy now again in a chair, and they have some similar traits, so I don't know if we can play all three at the same time. That's kind of what we're running into now at this point of the year, but we'll have to make that decision. But I still think he'll be in there, and he'll play some solid minutes for us at some point.
All right, Bruce, there was a report that came out yesterday that Kevin Miller was going to be out for the playoffs. What have you heard, and what do you know about his status right now?
Yesterday we were informed that he would miss the start of it. Where it goes from there, I don't know. Obviously, during the season, we try to be as transparent as possible. Hey, this is what's happening with players. I think in the playoffs, you're a little more tight-lipped. You don't want to assume anything. So right now, he's not on the ice today. But going forward, his status will be reevaluated probably on a, I don't know if I'd say next week, but I know early in the series he won't be available to us. So we're going to have to rely on Kampfer or Clifton, who's played real well for us, young kid. Johnny Moore is a bit of a wild card. He'd missed time. He's going to start skating with the team, so he may be available later in the week as well. So that's kind of how it's going to shape out, but we won't see Kevin early on.
Yeah, that's a tough decision to find out the second guy on the third pairing. Is there anyone you're leaning to right now?
Well, Clifton's played well. He's young. He's only played, I think, 20 games or so, but it hasn't fazed him. He's played against good players. If you remember November when all our guys were out in the back end, McAvoy, I think Carlo at the time, Z, he had to play 20 minutes a night against good teams, and he handled it well. Now, I know it's a playoff. It's a different animal. But we're not asking him to play 20 minutes. Charlie McAvoy and Carlo are healthy. So if he can give us a solid 15 minutes, move the puck, be physical, get the jitters out early, then I think he can help us because he's got good foot speed. And that's going to be a bit of the key here is the matchups is Toronto really skates. But this kid has the mobility and the physical presence and the I don't want to say the gumption. He just comes in and plays. I don't know. You hear terms all the time. The hockey coaches, this guy's a hockey player. That's what he is. He's not the best looking guy in practice. He's a little scruffy, but when the puck drops, he's a competitor, and that might be enough to get him over the hump early on until he finds his bearings.
He's got balls, baby.
He does have balls. Yes,
he's got big old nuts.
Himself in trouble again on your show.
Last time we got two dumps. All right, so you're allowed two. So throw out whatever you want. But I heard you talking. Speaking of that, I heard you talking about Brad Marchand yesterday, and about how he has cleaned up his game. Some of the ridiculous stuff that got him in trouble last year, he seems to have gotten rid of in his game. What are you saying, that we're not going to see him lick anybody's face here in the postseason this year?
I don't know if he's got something else up his sleeve or not. So far, he's kept it under wraps. I don't know if you follow his Twitter with Tory Krug. He seems to be occupying his time, taking his anger out on Tory. So maybe that's not a bad thing at all. They seem to have a good thing going. I think Tory got him back yesterday, but I suspect Brad will stay out of trouble. Fingers crossed. I think you realize how good he is. He's had a 100-point season. He's being talked about as a first All-Star in the league. So I'm going to expect the antics will be behind him now. But we'll see.
All right. Well, he's taking shots at Joe Haggerty from NBC Sports Boston about him being fat. Your thoughts?
I'm going to stay out of that one. I got to deal with Joe every day and Brad, so I'm going to always back my guy, Brad, but I'm going to stay out of that one.
All right.
So you know about the reality of the TNR bump, right? Has Jake DeBrus told you about this?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay, so I'm sorry, Rich.
No, but, please, because you spoke to Tory about
this.
All right,
so it's my son's birthday on Saturday, or his birthday party, and Chimura was nice enough to have us meet Tory Krug. He's from the same town as I am. And Tory said that DeBrusque, because you know what, people are superstitious, especially hockey players.
Yeah.
And that DeBrusque, wants to talk to our show every game day because he's convinced himself that
every time he
luck.
Comes on the show, Bruce, ever since he got back from his injury,
he's been gone.
Every time he comes on our show later on that night or the next game, he scores. He either scores one or two goals. And it's
make some time for him Thursday, will you?
He is.
He's coming on Thursday.
He requested to come on. He usually comes on Tuesday. He was going to come on right after you. However, he requested to come on Thursday because he's so superstitious about this.
Oh, good. Whatever works. I mean, I'm not a superstitious guy with much. I have a routine. I think that's different, but so good for him if that's what, I don't have at it.
I think he likes the verbal abuse. I've taken
to. He gets a little around here. But I think the guys, he's still one of the young guys, so he gets he takes his share here. So
How many goals do you have to score to not get crapped on anymore?
How about 10 in this playoff series, and then we'll leave him alone.
There you go. Well, that's the carry.
I like that.
All right, Bruce Cassidy, best of luck. Listen, if you do well, we do well. And it's all cheddar, baby. We need that money.
So, yeah, you and me both.
All right. Bruce Cassidy, thank you so much for the time, sir.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
Good to see you, man. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Well,
he's such a breath of fresh air.
Yeah,
he's fantastic.
I mean, who talks as much as him?
Well, he's not going to play Backes. So,
no, that much we got out of it. At least not at the beginning of the series.
And he's going to play Clifton.
Yes.
And Kevin Miller seems to be officially out until at least next week. So at least game one, game two, you can count on him not being there.
Well, the news that broke is Clifton is going to be your third pairing defenseman, and that Backes is not going to play.
Because he's sure Toronto will be very fast in the first game.
I would guess.
They play their fastest game in game one, and that is not Backes' game. So he will be the extra forward on Thursday night.
Yes, I'm sure they are very glad that they gave him that money. All right, we will be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on Twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
One right side, here's DeBrusque. Right of the net. Centered out in front. Fired. They score. David Pastrnak collects that sweet dish from Jake DeBrusque and hammers one home. And with 2:45 remaining in regulation, the Bruins have a 2-0 lead over the Wild.
You know what else is a sweet dish? My Princess Diana commemorative plate.
Man.
I got so many funny jokes today.
You're on fire.
Thank you. I've been watching a lot of Louis Anderson.
Wow.
Bruce Cassidy. I know. Get the laugh.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich.
I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Johnny Wall game, I already told you, ESPN's number one team next season.
Michigan State
Spartans.
I've seen early look preseason top 25, and the top 25 I saw, John Rothstein of CBS Sports, who does a very good job of covering college basketball for them. The top two are Michigan State and Michigan.
So he's got Marquette in Kentucky and Duke way down.
I think Rothstein had Marquette at 6 or 5. I want to say, but it varies. I mean, you just take the top 10, throw them in a hat. And I know Vegas had Virginia as the odds on favorite to repeat, although that's next to impossible. Yeah, they have just about everybody back too.
Yeah.
So.
You throw away the Vegas crap. I mean, but,
I don't know why you would bet on anything related to college basketball the day after the national championship game, unless you are a degenerate.
Exactly. And especially if you're not getting odds.
I mean, you don't know who's going, who's staying. Transfers are ridiculous in college basketball.
Yeah.
All I need to know is that Joey Bag of Money, however, hit both of his picks for last night's game.
Nice.
He took Virginia -1. Also, the over, which a lot of people thought they were crazy.
It was going to be
over
crap
was 15.
Yes.
It's a decent point. But, yeah, so they hit the over, obviously, because of overtime. And that game, over the first, 5 minutes, I'm like, this is everything everyone said it was going
to
be.
I went to bed at
8:45. Defensive slog, and then it took off. And
it was a great game. It was actually worth staying up late for. It was a great game.
Wasn't going to watch it. Foul taste in my mouth.
It was a great game.
Because of the Final Four loss by Michigan State.
Yeah, plus, I you know me. I need to sleep.
I understand.
If I don't sleep, I'm in big trouble. I need my sleep. That's why I'm so on fire in the morning.
That's right. You're peppy. You come raring to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I got in here at least a minute. I got in here right when Rich was playing this stuff. Did me a solid.
By the way, I tweeted out the picture of the thermos that had the harpoon on it.
Now, what is the consensus that I'm an idiot?
Well, the consensus on that is, I mean, we have gotten a few responses from Nick. Once again, Fred thought that because it had a harpoon sticker on the side, it looked like Nick was drinking a beer. But then again, it was a thermos.
Right.
And so the responses on that are, we got people saying... about this. They said that, I hate disagreeing with Fred, but is he okay? Would be one of the first ones.
Okay, say I'm wrong. Fantastic.
You're wrong.
Okay. I'm not crazy. It's a metal cylinder that has a big harpoon sticker on it that he put on it. I can be wrong. I have no problem being wrong, but it's not insane.
And that when people see it, you think he's drinking beer at work.
I thought when I saw it in his bag yesterday, someone had given him a can of harpoon. I didn't think he was drinking it at work. I just thought someone gave him a can. What did he put a sticker of a beer on a thermos?
I don't know.
What are you like? It's 1970, and you got a van. I mean, who's putting stickers on things? Did you get a good job? Good job on your spelling test?
Who's putting stickers on me?
No, seriously. Like, what, did you get a gold star because like you got your math questions right? Like, when was the last time you put a sticker on something?
I mean, I'm not a sticker person, but I do know that they're all over the place.
There's a lot
of
people that are adults that are sticker people. They just can't get enough of the stickers.
Like, I don't have any bumper stickers. I know there's tons of people who do.
I have a magnetic bumper sticker for the Newton Southeast Little League that I will take off, and then someone will put it back on at night. They come by, and they put it on at night.
it's the magnetic sticker police?
It's people from the league. They just come by and they put it on the car.
The league monsters. The league chuds.
I mean,
they come out of the sewers at midnight.
When you see my Ferrari pulling around the corner and you see it says Newton Southeast Little League, I mean, your kid's joining.
You're like, ooh la la. And Eck lowers his shades.
That's right. Eck is more of a muscle car guy.
So Eck will be obviously in the booth today.
Yeah, good luck getting that game in. Good, and the Marathon Monday is going to be a show, too.
Well, I think today they're going to be able to get it in because I don't think it's supposed to rain until later on. It's going to be freezing, though.
Yeah, it's going to be nasty in the low 40s. Perfect ballpark weather.
Remember,
but no rain.
Be
in
your
seats. I think
it'll
be fine.
You got to be in your seats an hour and 45 minutes before the first pitch to make sure you don't miss any of the greatness.
I was talking to a guy in sales, and I said, I usually go to the Marathon Monday game, but now I can drive home. Like, I can actually make it home.
Yeah.
So there's no way I'm going. Because there's that, when you get up, like, before 5, there's that, if you start drinking at 10, you're blacking out around noon. So I think I could do without that this year.
I feel you. And then, you know, we end up going to the broadcast where, like, you know, Zolak and Bertrand
are. And then they always force me to get on the radio so they can make fun of me for being drunk.
Which is an excellent radio sense. I have to give them credit for that. But it also means that there's a tab there usually, which means you're drinking for free. And
the Adolfo special.
Well, Adolfo has drank a Kaskin Flag and thrown up into the pitcher.
Really?
Yeah. Into the pitcher?
A pitcher of beer.
Oh. I see. I don't remember. I was too busy passing out in the stall.
This was a decade ago.
So was mine.
Yeah. Over a decade.
I would say it was over a decade that happened. But I do find it funny that even though the Red Sox will be getting their Super Bowl rings, the biggest applause is going to be for Rob Gronkowski today.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question. When he takes the field, people are going to lose their minds. Now, it is kind of funny that, you know, you don't have Bill Belichick and Tom Brady there. I don't know why they're not going, but I don't blame them for not going.
I can't believe Kraft's not going.
Well, I mean, if he went, though, how great would that be? He would get an even bigger applause than Rob Gronkowski would.
I'm not positive about
that. The place would go crazy. Are you kidding me?
I'm not positive. Your thoughts, John?
I think there are enough people to limit the craziness. This is an issue that will limit the craziness of the applause.
Are you kidding me? He would be heralded as a hero. He's been able to listen. Apparently, the world right now inside of Boston, outside of Boston is different. But right here at Fenway Park, he is the victim, and he's being viewed as that. And when he comes out, it's going to be a hero's welcome.
I think there are just as many people that, you know, that it's a rich guy problem throwing all these expensive lawyers at a misdemeanor. I think that there are dozens of people out there that have been busted for soliciting that have not been able to throw huge attorneys to try and make this go away.
And it's not even like a big, I know the video, so just take that off the table. I don't think that he did anything wrong.
No, it was a misdemeanor.
I'm not judging the guy, but Gronkowski is going to bring the house down.
But don't talk about what you think would be right to do. What do you think that crowd would do? And they would lose their
If Robert Kraft showed up and he got a big round of applause, I don't have a problem with
it. Well, the best thing I heard was from Joe Giza, who works with Dan Roach, and he said, maybe Brady surprises Gronk tomorrow like the soldiers who surprise their kids. Comes walking out. And then he said, if I was in charge, Brady secretly comes out in catching gear to catch the first pitch from Gronk, then takes off the catcher's mask for the big reveal. And then after everyone goes nuts, Wally takes his head off to reveal it's Belichick.
By the way, the reaction of Gronk would be like every YouTube video I've ever seen of the kids dashing toward their father and leaping into their arms. Like, that would be Gronk's reaction if Brady actually showed up.
Have you ever questioned...
What happened to Wally? Why'd you kill Wally?
Have you ever questioned...
His head's off.
Have you ever questioned, like, the military guy coming to the park and having the kid come up to him? Like, you've been home.
That's not true all the time. I mean, because a lot of the times they'll set it up.
They literally just flew in?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not true.
Because I was
I know one family personally where that happened.
Okay, because I was under the assumption that you've been home a couple days.
No. And you can tell from the kid's reaction. I mean, a lot of times
No. I'm not saying the kid saw the dad. I'm saying, has the dad been home for a couple days? Like in the area?
Well, if he was, like, if he returned to the base, this is the first time his son has seen him.
No, I know that, but wouldn't you prefer to see your son right away?
Sure. But then again, maybe I know you're not, but I do believe
The minute I got home, I'd want to go, hey guys, like I didn't want to sit around for a couple of days and you know, do it on the field. But that's my own preference. Listen, I'm not in the military. You can do whatever you want to do.
That gets me every time. Like, it's one of those things that I see happen everywhere, and each time it's like, dude, that's awesome. Like, even the most cynical person can't watch that and just go, dude, that rules. And they do, like, a football game or where they walk into the class and all that stuff. That's pretty awesome.
See, if you walk into the class, I think you just got home. But if you wait for the game.
Yeah, then maybe you were there for a day or so. Sure.
So I always think, like, why wouldn't you just go home?
Well, I just think that if that's what happened and Belichick took the Wally head off, it would just confuse Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah. And he'd be like, I don't need to deal with you anymore.
Why is Wally dead? You cut off his head. I don't like that. Who's that? Why does Wally's head look like Bill Belichick now?
And every kid freaks out because it's all they care about is about the game is Wally.
Right. And they all start losing their mind because he's been decapitated.
Hey, that's have fun taking your young kids to the game today. It's going to be a real treat. You're going to love it. All right, Rich, what do we have coming on in the stack?
A new players poll for the guys in the NBA has been released. And who did they choose to be this year's MVP? And where do many of the Celtics rank on such lists?
All right, we'll find out. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Time and temperature brought to you by Whole Foods Market. It is 37 degrees at 938. Prime members save more at Whole Foods Market. And this week, Sumo Citrus is just $2.49 per pound. Sumos are extra sweet and easy to peel. Perfect for lunches and on-the-go snacking. Shop through April 9th while supplies last and find more Prime member deals on the Whole Foods Market app.
Toucher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Be listening tomorrow morning for your chance to score Bruins Maple Leafs tickets for Game 1 Thursday night at the TD Garden. Like a hot shot, Rich gets to it for free. And catch all the Bruins games, playoff games, right here on your flagship station of the Boston Bruins, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I love anonymous player polls. Better than any kind of ones, people working in the industry. The players, that's where you know what people truly think about each other. And The Athletic went and interviewed 127 guys in the NBA and asked them such questions such as who is the MVP and more and more and more. I'd say it's fairly comprehensive. 127 players, this is probably what most of the league thinks. In the who is the MVP, the number one vote getter, gentlemen?
Giannis.
Not Giannis. He's in number two, but it was close. He had 38%. James Harden at number one. I mean, how can you average? What did he average, 38 points this season?
Yeah, I think Giannis is a better player. I agree with that.
I'd rather have Giannis in a heartbeat than James Harden.
Even if they were the same age.
Yeah, James Harden only works in a certain type of offense, the offense that he currently is running.
An offense that will never win a championship.
Correct.
And I'll be honest, either one would deserve it. If Giannis got it or James Harden got it, I wouldn't care. I don't really care that much about the MVP anyway, but they both deserve it. Kyrie Irving comes in at number five with 1% of the vote.
It should come in number 126.
It goes Harden, Giannis, Paul George, Joel Embiid in fourth, and then tied for fifth is Kyrie Irving, Kawhi Leonard and Damian Lillard.
What did Kyrie Irving do at all that would warrant any vote?
Every single night, he is consistently great. I mean, he's
when he plays and when he's not causing problems, most valuable player. He's on a team that's underachieved.
This is a player poll now.
It's a player poll.
I understand.
So it seems like he's well liked.
Yes.
Well, you only got 1% of the vote, so let's not really read too much into it. It's 1%.
Well,
I'll
read into whatever I want.
Who is
you
the
don't
best?
Tell me what to do.
The best defender in the league.
James Harden.
James Harden, not the best defender in the league.
Do they still go with Draymond?
No, Draymond. I don't think Draymond's very well liked.
No.
Well, no, it's he's not well liked, but he
or respected.
People understand his skill.
He only got 2.6% of the vote. Comes in at number 7.
Okay.
And number 1, Kawhi Leonard with 30% of the vote. Yeah. Then it goes Paul George, Rudy Gobert, Patrick Beverley, Joel Embiid, Jrue Holiday, and then tied with Giannis Antetokounmpo, it goes to Draymond Green in 8th place. Marcus Smart.
Nice. Every time you hear Rudy Gobert, do you think of the man who ran for office in Miami?
Rudy Moyes?
Yeah.
Sometimes I do. Go get him, Rudy!
Mike and Tam were just saying that in the other room.
Best theme song of all time. Who is the best ball handler?
Kyrie Irving.
Number 1 by far. Yeah. He got 77% of the vote.
He might be the best ball handler of all
time. Harden's got to get a couple of votes, too.
James Harden's number 4 with 2.3. In second place, Steph Curry. Number 3, Kemba Walker. And then it goes on and on. Then the next category, you're building a roster from scratch. Who are you signing first?
From scratch.
I couldn't agree more. Who are you signing first if you're building a roster from scratch?
Giannis.
Giannis, number 1, by far.
Embiid's got to be second.
Nope.
Really?
Yep. Number 2, future Celtic Anthony Davis. He got 10%. Joel Embiid, 8.8%. Kevin Durant goes to 8. LeBron James, 7.6%. And then it goes Steph Curry, Kawhi. And number 9, Jason Tatum with 1.6% of the vote.
Maybe they should try to watch basketball.
Who's the most overrated? Now, this one's great. Who is the most overrated player?
Based on what you're telling me, because Draymond is hated, Draymond's got to be a high vote getter.
That would be absolutely correct. Draymond Green tied for number 1.
Oh, really? Okay.
With who?
Jason Tatum.
No. I bet you Tatum got votes.
Jason Tatum tied with
based
a bunch
on his
of people.
Year this year.
He tied with a bunch of people for 4th place with 2% of the vote.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But how about this? Well, first of all, number 1 is
Jonathan Isaac.
Draymond Green and Russell Westbrook tied for number 1.
Jonathan Isaac's all right. He's learning the game.
Number 2, couldn't agree more.
Lit him up for Orlando the other night.
Jimmy Butler, Andrew Wiggins, and Karl-Anthony Towns at number 2. Number 3, James Harden, Ben Simmons, and LeBron James are all tied at number 3. And what's great is that in 4th place with Jason Tatum, Semi Ojeleye. Like, was that a joke? Somebody threw that in there?
He's constantly being praised.
Like, maybe, right. He's amazing. On the headlines everywhere. Okay. Maybe he's most overrated in the weight room.
Maybe he's the most under-the-radar superstar that we don't know about.
Who is the most underrated, according to these 147 players?
All right. Kemba.
Kemba Walker.
Damian Lillard.
Damian Lillard's number 2, Fred. Good guess.
Good job.
I want that set and jacket on, man.
I want that extra patch on the back for you.
I don't see Kemba Walker on here, but I could be wrong.
Well, that's because John doesn't know as much as me.
Number 1, Jrue Holiday. Number 2, as you said, Damian Lillard. Also tied with Chris Middleton. Number 3, Mike Conley. Number 4, it's a tie between Bradley Beal. Oh, there's Kemba Walker. Number 4.
Mike Conley went to where?
I don't know. Michigan State,
nope.
I'm guessing?
No.
Ohio State.
Oh,
yep.
Okay. D'Angelo Russell at number 5. I don't see
another
any
Ohio State guy.
Celtics in there.
D'Angelo Russell went to Ohio State?
I believe so, yes.
I am going to say that's not true.
All right.
According to the 147 players in the NBA, who's the best player of all time?
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan is number 1 by far, 73%. However, what happens afterwards is interesting.
Kobe Bryant
barely in 3rd place, just behind LeBron James. LeBron James has 11.9%, but Kobe Bryant's right there with 10.6%.
There is a big movement now of people saying that Kobe Bryant's been dismissed.
I think he has. I think that he's not even in the conversation, that immediately people are going, is it Michael or LeBron, is laughable.
I've had conversations with people, including at the barbershop.
Mm-hmm. That's where the real talk goes down.
But I've had conversation with people that would argue vehemently that he's the second best player of all time.
Who don't you want to fight, or who is the toughest?
Draymond Green.
Semi Ojeley.
Semi Ojeley, not on this list.
By the way, D'Angelo Russell did go to Ohio State. Just want to bring that up.
James Johnson is number one.
Oh, James Johnson.
Miami.
Aaron Baines, however, he is number six. You do not want to fight James Johnson.
Draymond Green's not on the list?
I don't see that.
Because he'd actually fight you.
Who talks the most trash, according to the anonymous poll? This one's easy.
Draymond?
Yeah, comes in at number one with 33%. Then Patrick Beverly, Russell Westbrook at number three. And then you go down the list to number seven. There is Marcus Smart sitting right there with who talks the most trash.
All right. We will be right back with more of this. And we'll also find out what Zolak and Bertrand have on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Listen, watch, react in real time. Toucher and Rich are on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
Opening day, 2013. Baseball springs eternal. It's opening day. The feds might show up and take me away. The birds begin singing. The trees start to bloom. The setbacks will surface. The losses to gloom. Things couldn't get much worse.
Beware thy royal stench of thy diarrhea.
Just a tease.
98.5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich.
Never to be heard again.
Is that right?
Okay.
I mean, we're not going to replay it. Around Christmas time, maybe we'll just play Jingle Bells in the background.
I mean, they would have to storm the Twitter gates in order for us to play that again. Like, that would have to be like a begging, a reckoning of what are you doing? Why are you not replaying your Game of Thrones bit?
Yeah.
And I don't see that happening. I mean, it would have to be just a massive deluge of you guys are out of your minds if you don't replay that immediately.
Which I'm going to guarantee you is not happening.
Probably not. Well, back to this Athletic players-only survey that they have, which is pretty fantastic. I love it when the players do this stuff. And they asked 147 guys who played in the NBA a bunch of questions, including which coach, aside from your own, would you want to play for? Any guesses as to number one on the list?
Popovich.
Popovich is still number one with 40%.
Brad Stevens is top three, though.
Brad Stevens is number two, baby. 10%, which does say something. I mean, when you want to talk about whether you're able to get free agents, this is something that I'm sure that they would consider. Brad Stevens coming in at number two. Steve Kerr at number three with 7.8%.
Alvin Gentry at number five.
Alvin Gentry's number 11. A little bit down the list.
Alvin Gentry loves having jobs.
Mike D'Antoni, I hope you like running and scoring quickly, 7.4%.
Oh, God, every basketball player wants to play for D'Antoni. He's just like, do whatever. Just fire up as many shots as you want. Don't even need to pass the ball. Just dribble the ball at the floor and shoot a three.
That's called Captain Padger stats.
If
you want your stats to be padded, you go play with D'Antoni.
Yeah, and with the right trigger man, you're going to win a lot of games until the playoffs start.
If only Barkley played for a different coach.
And number five, Doc Rivers on that list. And now this one's interesting. Which coach, aside from your own, would you not want to play for? Ooh. And you know what? There's two coaches on here. I don't even know what team they coach.
Yeah, that's the thing is I'm not going to know the team.
But number one isn't a coach anymore. He was fired this year.
Tyronn Lue?
Nope.
Who was fired this year?
And I guess.
The guy from the stamp guy.
Oh. Tom Thibodeau.
Tom Thibodeau, yeah.
Coming up number one by a pretty decent margin. 34.6% said they would not want to play for Tom Thibodeau. I'm looking here. There seems to be guys who aren't even coaching
anymore.
Who else? Is it Jim Boylan at number two?
Boylan was Chicago. He had a near mutiny in Chicago.
Hated him. That's right. Okay. Igor Kokoskov?
Yes, Kokoskov, Phoenix.
Okay. All right. Nate McMillan coming
Phoenix
in.
Phoenix not playing very well.
No.
Nate McMillan's Indiana.
He's coming in at number four. How about at number five, Stan Van Gundy with 4.8%.
Yeah. Now, he doesn't coach anymore.
He doesn't. He does not. And
he'll call
coached.
You out in the media. That's probably why. This guy was terrible.
Was he with Detroit last year or was it the year before?
He was both the head coach and vice president of operations.
Yeah, he was supposed to turn everything around.
Yeah. And this is kind of interesting. And number six, coaches that they would not want to play for, Greg Popovich. I find that strange. And then tied at number seven are a bunch of people not named Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens, nowhere to be found on the list.
All right.
How about that? Other than your team, which one will win the title this season? Number one, there's no question, 79% Golden State. Number two, Milwaukee. Three, Toronto. Four, Houston. At number five, they chose Boston as being the team that will win it. And then, where will Kevin Durant be playing next season? Once again, they asked all of these players.
They're going to say New York.
63% believe that Durant will go to New York.
I kind of hope it happens.
Yeah,
now.
Good. Rod
I kind of really hope it happens and he goes to New York. Let's see how long he can stand it.
Yeah, go rot there.
My guess would be after the first 2 days.
He will have fits with the media there.
Oh, God.
If he can't take the media and what they've been saying to him in Golden State, they are going to destroy him in New York City. Golden State comes in at number two as far as the place where Durant will play next season. That's almost impossible. There's no way he stays, right?
Oklahoma City's got to be three, right?
Nope.
Oklahoma City, I was looking at it. They're paying three guys $25 million or more as it is.
Who's the third? I'm sorry.
Steven Adams. Dragan Mekakopoulos.
Oh, that's right.
Dragan Mekakopoulos is going to demand some money. All right.
Brooklyn, by the way, number three. Clippers, four and five. Oh, number six is Boston with 1%.
Okay.
So, hey, Kevin Durant's coming. We're getting him.
All right.
Have fun. All right, we have Zolak and Bertrand. They're wandering around because they're over there at the Lucky Strike today for the Red Sox home opener. Oh, Hardy's here.
Well, at least somebody from the midday show.
He didn't have to go into town.
Hard Vark, what's up?
He didn't have to go into town, so here he comes taking his time.
So they're all over the Lucky Strike right now?
Yeah, they're just bowling.
Hello?
Yeah, your mic.
Nice. There you go.
What do you want, the other mic?
Yeah,
I got them all. That's why I have a board. Mics.
His doesn't have the mic condom on it. What? So it means germs everywhere, germs.
They're a Lucky Strike, I'm here. I was given the option. I said, you know what? I think I'm good.
Yeah.
Not going to the game.
Yep.
You'll be here.
Don't drink, so there's really no point.
0 point.
Easier getting in and out?
Yeah.
Not a nightmare? Bit.
Wallach, you going to the game?
I am not. Not going to the game today.
Rich?
I would if it was nice.
Yeah, if it was above 50, I would think about it.
I know Fred's not going. I don't even have to ask.
Yeah, I'm not going.
That one we know.
No.
Nope.
All right.
You have this notion in your head that I'm very agoraphobic.
No, I just, if it were, like you said, I heard you talking earlier, like the marathon.
I'm not going game. There. I'm not going to the marathon game.
But you've been to that one before.
I go every year, but I'm not going this year.
Well, this year it's going to be a nightmare. It's supposed to be as rainy as it was last marathon Monday, which how that's possible, I don't know.
But what was your justification? Because now you can drive home? Because you guys are down there that day.
No, I can drive. I had to stop at Commonwealth Avenue.
So I'd
leave my car in Brighton and get an Uber.
Gotcha.
And then it would take me out there. But now I'm home free.
Yeah,
they don't run through Dorchester.
Bit of I'm sure everybody who's going to be there at the game today and there four what they want you there 4.5 hours early. They wanted you there at 9:30 this morning.
It's a little something called pomp and circumstance.
Yeah, yeah, they're excited, but there does seem to be a bit of a lack of buzz about this. Home opener.
You know what? You wait until October, people start discussing it.
There you go.
I mean, it's not anything that needs to be talked about right now.
I can't believe Wallach stayed up for that game last night.
I did.
I did too. I was going to turn it off, but halfway through the second half, I'm like, I gotta see this.
I would have been so pissed off had I stayed up for it in like overtime. Okay, Texas Tech has a chance, and then they lost anyway. Screw it.
I went to bed at 8:30 last night.
No, I watched first half, and then I was done.
Good for you.
Get your rest while you can, because the playoffs are...
I know, no kidding. Next two nights.
This is the best week in sports. Had that game last night been any good, it would have started last night, but you got the home opener, you got Masters, you got playoffs.
Yeah, starting Thursday, you have both the hockey and basketball playoffs starting, and you got the Masters.
You watch that par 3 tournament?
No.
They popped that on at 3 o'clock tomorrow.
No.
Wow. The golf guy says no. Thumbs down.
Par 3 tournament, stop it. You don't even want to win that thing. No one's ever won the par 3 tournament and then won the Masters.
What about Lefty? What about good old Lefty? He's got a shot.
Lefty!
He also had $1 million on the game yesterday. All right, you guys enjoy yourselves. That'll do it for us. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.